Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod with in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The first section I have it is 1 through 6. The prophet refers back to the former chapter as he opens his narrative here in 5, speaking about the oppression of the city for her sins. The troops here are the people that are gathered together not as armies, but as those who are gathered for deportation, for oppression. And the judge of Israel in this connection is the chief magistrate of the nation, probably speaking of the king. And so, notice, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And so here we have returned, in this first verse, to that word of judgment that is coming upon them for their sins. But then in verse 2, the prophet turns his narrative to the only hope of the people of Israel, and that is that they might hope in Messiah. They might hope in Christ. And so in verse 2, speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ from Bethlehem, though that's the smallest of the cities, you wouldn't expect help from Bethlehem. But that's where help will come. It will come from Bethlehem. And who is coming out of Bethlehem? One who is to be the ruler in Israel. And then this most arresting phrase, whose goings forth have been of old, Adolam, from everlasting in the Hebrew. And so we learn something about Christ here. We learn that he is from everlasting, that he is God himself, that the Messiah that will come, yes, he will come, and yes, he will be a ruler, and yes, he will appear with humankind, but he will be more than a man, because his goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. Notice that he comes forth unto Yahweh, that means in service to Yahweh. The kings that have gone before, they have served themselves, but this one shall serve Yahweh, his God. He is of the Davidic line from Bethlehem, that is the city of David. He has authority and power. He will rule unto Yahweh, and he is from everlasting. The prophet then speaks of the travail of the nation as she brings forth. And this is an interesting passage. You know, I mean, we have a couple of ladies that we're praying for as they're getting ready to have babies, and we have one that's just had one, and so on. And so we have this travailing and then the birth, right? The trouble and then the birth. And so this is what we'll have here. This is what he says. Jerusalem, Judah, you're going to have travail, and then you're going to give birth. And the birth that you will give is to this great Messiah King, and he will come, and he will usher in, he will bring in his kingdom. And that's kind of a large prophetic sweep, but that's what Micah is teaching here. So she is going to travail, and then she is going to give birth. But from Bethlehem, even from humble beginnings. So the prophet sets forth his hope in Christ Jesus. Now note how it is that this one comes who comes. What would you expect if he is from old, from everlasting? What would you expect if he is to be ruler in Israel? Well, he would come with great pomp, great circumstance. He would come with a caravan, with armies, with jewels, with gold and with silver. Not so. He does not come forth like a king. He comes forth as a shepherd. He comes forth as one who leads as a shepherd, not as a military commander. He shall stand, that is, there will be no shame in his ministry, and he shall feed. Literally, the word feed there, it's going the other direction. He's not feeding, he is making sure his people are fed. He shall shepherd them. The Hebrew word is the same root that we get the term shepherd from, roeh. So he will stand and feed, he will shepherd his flock, and it will be according to Yahweh, his God. Notice that we have already established the shepherd's deity. This statement doesn't take away from that. We have his humanity in subjection to his Father spoken of here. And so his flock shall abide. He will cause them to grow. He will cause them to flourish under his shepherding to the ends of all the earth. And then we see that in the days of Messiah, there is a loss of Jewish nationalism as the gospel becomes a universal message to all the earth. And then finally in this section, his reign will be a peaceable one and yet a strong one. This man shall be the peace. He will take care of all of our enemies. None shall make us afraid in that day. We do not need to fear of being destroyed as we do today when the Assyrian and the Babylonian threaten us. Under him, this man shall be the peace. Of course, being the Prince of Peace, this is exactly what we would expect. All right, so then in the second section, verses 7 through the end, the dispersion of the people foreshadowed in the captivity will be for the rise of the kingdom of God and not for its fall. Remember how everyone was clutching tightly to Jerusalem, saying, we're not going to leave. But it was for the advancement of the kingdom of God that the people should be dispersed, that the 10 northern tribes, that faithful remnant should be found flung far and wide over the face of the earth. It was for the expanse of the kingdom of God that the people should be taken out of Jerusalem, carried away captive to Babylon, that even Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus, heathen kings, would call upon the name of the Lord even in their day. Remember that Cyrus is called mine anointed. Darius spoke to Daniel about the Lord his God, and Nebuchadnezzar said about the Lord after he woke up from his seven times as an ox said, nobody says to this God, what are you doing? Right? And so it was for the expansion of the kingdom of God, prepping the people, preparing the people, preparing that prophetic understanding for the day when the gospel would go forth to every kindred, tribe, and tongue and nation. All right, so then the Lord will take away, in service to his people, he'll take away those things that have become the objects of their trust. And first, this is horses, chariots, cities, and strongholds. But secondly, it is idols or false gods, soothsayers, witchcrafts, idols, and groves. So not only those things that we would have a tendency to trust in the earthly, in earthly connection, you know, bank accounts, economic engine, military might, and so on. The Lord will take those things away. He'll also take away soothsayers, witchcrafts, idols, images, and groves. And then finally, the chapter ends with the antithesis, the distinction between those who are not the Lord's people and those who are. For his people, through the ministry of Messiah, he will take away all temptations to apostasy. But for those who are not his people, there will only be destruction. And that's how the chapter ends. I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Thus ends the reading of Micah chapter 5. Let's continue.